Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Hello, America, and happy Tuesday. Oh, so much to report today. So much to think about. So much to dive into today. I think the big news is the performance of Robert Hur, the special counsel, who concluded that Joe Biden willfully retained and shared classified information, but decided not to charge him with willful dissemination of classified information. There was a lot to learn in this testimony today. We're going to jump into that in a little bit. And then later on in the show, I'm going to come back and I want to talk about the dynamic of what we've seen the last 8 years in two consecutive days with Congressman Barry Loudermilk releasing the extraordinary evidence he did yesterday on January 6th, and Robert Hur today going all the way back to the unraveling of the Russia collusion story that Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, and the deep state formed. And of course, the Joe Biden Ukraine impeachment story, which turned out to be bogus, as well as the Hunter Biden laptop. There has been a Democrat inspired or fueled taxpayer funded machinery that has repeatedly misled the American people using tax dollars, using the power and color of government. And it has led us on this roller coaster ride where we start with one narrative that we're worked up about, only to find none of it was true. It was all fictional. Donald Trump didn't grab the steering wheel or assault the Secret Service in his presidential limo on January 6th. The driver said, we were kept from that information. There was never any evidence of Russia collusion. We found that out in 2021 and 2019 when two special counsels provided that evidence, Robert Mueller and John Durham. I want to talk a little bit before we close out the show about that. In between, we got a real treat for you today. The one and only Newt Gingrich is going to be here. He's going to break down the Robert Hur testimony. He's going to break down all that we're seeing in the election, Joe Biden's polling numbers, Donald Trump's polling numbers, the way the election is setting up, what are the questions people ask themselves when they pull the lever, and what are we going to do about that machinery, the one I'm talking about? How do we stop an incessant, unpunished machine? And I think that's one of the key things. It's not never been punished. That has created Russia collusion falsely, the false narrative of there was nothing to see with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's influence peddling when there was plenty to see, the false story that Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian disinformation operation. It wasn't. And of course, the last one that we're just dealing with in the last few days, the January 6th conclusions that have been completely eviscerated by the evidence that the Democrats didn't give us. And then I want to remind everybody, and we'll do this in a second, where the White House was sitting at the podium and writing letters just a week ago compared to what Robert Hur told us today, unequivocally, calmly, factually consistent. You can disagree with his decision not to charge the president, but he was pretty straightforward in his assessment. And when people tried to drown him out, like the Democrats, like Jay Paul, who wanted to say, you exonerate him, said, I did not exonerate him. He kept fighting with her to get his word. I did not exonerate. I didn't use that word. Stop putting words in my mouth, Democrats. That was a pretty big moment. Well, we'll cover all that with Newt Gingrich in the middle block. What a great treat on such an important time in history to have not only a great historian, but a great political leader, a great thought leader, a man who led the first Republican revolution of the modern era after Ronald Reagan, the 1994 congressional revolution. We're going to get all that in that middle block. All right, let's go back to what we learned today. I just want to give you my top-down take on what Robert Hur actually told us. And to set this up, I want to go back to the stories that or remind everybody, it was just a couple weeks ago, mid-February. So Robert Hur's report comes out. It states that he concluded that Joe Biden willfully kept and shared classified information. And then that machinery kicked in. In this case, it was in the form of Ian Sams, the bespectacled White House spokesman for the White House counsel's office. And I want to remind you what Ian Sams did, because it's very important to appreciate what happened in this moment. Ian Sams went on the podium. Then he wrote a letter to the White House Correspondents Association saying, you cannot report. It is inaccurate, improper, misleading, dishonest to say that the report of Robert Hur concluded that Joe Biden willfully retained and shared classified information. Now, it's really important to note that that word willfully retained was in the report. It was in the executive summary. But like Adam Schiff did years ago when he said, trust me, there's Russia collusion. You just have to be willing to see it. And of course, Robert Mueller said, I didn't find any. John Durham said there was never any evidence. It was made up from the beginning by Hillary Clinton and her character cast. Ian Sams did the same thing. I know it says that, but that's not what it says. Don't believe it. Stop using the word. I'm going to intimidate you. Don't use it, reporters, or I'll shame you. His letters kind of backfired. I think the White House Correspondents Association was pretty ticked off that they got a letter saying, you should control your members. They don't do that. That's not what the White House Correspondents Association is for. It's not a censorship regime like what Big Tech played in 2020. It's an organization that lobbies for access and just gives reporters the access they need to legitimately cover the news. I think it backfired. I think media were pretty pissed off that they got treated that way. But keep this in mind, because it's going to come back later in the show. I want to talk about it again. Ian Sams works for you and me. We pay his salary. He's taxpayer funded. He's a White House official. He used the color of government, the power of the White House stationery, the power of the presidential podium to say, you cannot report what this report said. Sounds like what a banana republic would say. It's like what Vladimir Putin would say. You can't report our troops are not winning the war. You can't report that I'm an autocrat. Well, that's what Ian Sams was saying. You can't report what the government actually concluded was the report. Well, Robert Hur came out today and said, I'm sorry, fellas. I'm sorry, White House. I did conclude that President Joe Biden willfully retained and willfully shared classified information. That is a complete rebuttal to the White House. He said it many different ways. He said it many different times. He pointed out that these documents were kept in many locations, the den, the basement, the garage, the upstairs, the office, the private office at UPenn Biden Center in Washington, D.C. That is such an important acknowledgement. They were everywhere. And he said, yes, they did willfully retain. Let me give you the quote. We obtained evidence. President Biden willfully retained classified information. Now, that information included recorded conversations with his ghostwriter where he told the ghostwriter, hey, I just found the classified documents downstairs. Oh, the information I'm giving is getting classified. Be careful. He did share it. And he did so willfully and knowingly, like he did when he kept it. What Hur said is, I'm not sure a jury in D.C. or Delaware, where these cases would have had to have been brought under the law, would have convicted him because Joe Biden is absent-minded. He is unclear, contradictory, old, doddering, would be sympathetic to a Democratic jury pool. So he gets off. That is, he got off. But we can't lose sight of what Robert Hur told us happened. We can't. It's very important that we don't. He willfully retained it. He willfully shared it. He willfully lied. Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan both brought this out, that President Biden made a statement to the press. I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. And Matt Gaetz and Jordan asked, Mr. Hur, is that true? And Hur said, in classic Justice Department bureaucraties, that is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report. In other words, it's not true. And then Matt Gaetz said, yeah, so it's a lie. That's just what regular people might say. And Hur did not give a verbal response, but appeared to laugh in acknowledgement. Later on, the Democratic messaging machine, the people who wanted to once again change the narrative in the person of Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, she said, hey, you exonerated Biden. And he's like, I didn't. And this is what she said. So this is lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. And she wouldn't let Robert Hur answer, but he bullied in. He got it. I'm not a congresswoman. That is one statute that we analyze. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you use, exoneration. That is not a word that was used in this report. That is not part of my task as a prosecutor. The judgment that I received and that I ultimately reached was relating to whether sufficient evidence existed such that the likely outcome would be a conviction. Her told the committee he knew in explaining his decision that there was willful intent. It's not an exoneration. Again, he said, I didn't use that word. That is not a word used in the report. I did not exonerate him. So that was a very important moment, I think. Now, the day got off even a few minutes before Robert Hur testified when the president, Joe Biden's 2 days of transcripts. He was interviewed for 2 days in the Robert Hur investigation right around the time of the October 7th Israeli attack, the attack on Israel by Hamas. And there is some really remarkable transcript when you read it, because the president is all over the map. There's no other way to say it. He couldn't remember the year Beau died. He couldn't remember the year that Trump was elected. He said, I don't recall, or I don't remember, I have no goddamn idea, more than 100 times. He confused things. He wasn't clear. He seemed to be nervous. He seemed to be uncertain. He couldn't tell you how the documents got there, why he shared them with the ghostwriter, why he didn't do the right thing. It is a remarkable moment that such a transcript is the reason why a willful retention of classified documents won't be prosecuted. There'll be no penalty. There'll be no punishment. There'll be no shaming further than this testimony in the report of Joe Biden. Yet there will be a prosecution of Donald Trump on similar claims. Now, there are a lot of differences between Trump and Biden, including the fact that Trump had the right to declassify and the vice president didn't. Okay, so that's a power. But I think it's really important to remind everybody that the pattern we see here, Hillary Clinton retained classified emails on an insecure server. She did not get punished because James Comey jumped in and said, I'm not going to allow the prosecution to occur, even though that wasn't his call. Those who propagated the Russia collusion delusion for 3 years didn't get punished, except for one FBI lawyer that got a suspended sentence, didn't go to prison. The 51 intelligence agents, they didn't pay any price. There is a really extraordinary pattern, and now Joe Biden's not going to pay a price for knowingly keeping and willfully distributing classified information. And in the course of the questioning, I think it was Jim Jordan, it was a really extraordinary moment. They dug down and said, what's the motive? And at first, Hur wasn't sure that he had made a motive, and Jim Jordan prodded him. Well, I think he had 8 million reasons to keep the information. He was keeping this information to assist his book, for which he got paid $8 million. And then, of course, he shares it with the person writing that book. So the narrative fits, right? He kept it because he thought he was going to write a book. Then he shares it to the book writer, the ghostwriter, and there's no punishment for it. But at least we know the motive. So we had the possibility of a crime. We had the motive. We had the witness. We had an effort by the ghostwriter to apparently try to destroy the evidence, move it to the delete box or the recycle bin, which meant it would get erased. We had Joe Biden lie to the American people. We had Ian Sams, a man who works on our payroll, try to deceive the American people. And there won't be a consequence for it. There won't. And that raises two questions. One is, are we in that system of dual justice? That's the Trump versus Biden treatment question. Are we in a system where blue city juries can't be impartial? That prosecutors won't bring charges against Democrats in Democrat cities because they don't think they can get a conviction, which I think is the underlying narrative that Robert Hur was hinting at without maybe going quite that far. Are we in a moment that there's no deterrence to steal classified secrets? There's no deterrence to weaponize congressional findings, making them say things that aren't true, or fail to tell the American people the other side of the story? There's no consequence to using the FBI to spy on a campaign. No consequence to falsely calling something Russian disinformation when it wasn't. No consequence to lying into the camera to get elected and say, my family didn't get China money. My family, I didn't meet with my son's business partners. We did nothing wrong. My son wasn't a tax cheat. My son's done nothing wrong. He said all those things. None of those were true. None of them. And there's no consequence yet. no consequence. It doesn't look like there'll be an impeachment trial. Maybe there'll be impeachment articles, but as you heard, James Comer said there won't be. There may not be. And I think that that's a really significant moment in the interviews we've done here. So 4 and 5 years of behavior that won't be punished. And the question is there a deterrence and is there a dual system? That's something we'll ask Newt Gingrich right after we take a quick commercial break. Now, before we get to that commercial break, I always love to shout out some of our good friends. And I think each week we've got some really good ones. One of my favorite are my friends at Factor, Factor Meals. You know, I've been focusing on losing weight, getting healthier, getting my blood sugars down, getting my cholesterol down, getting my heart rate down, getting my blood pressure down, paying attention to my kidneys and my liver and all those things. And one of the things that I realized was an impediment to success was I didn't have the time to cook a healthy meal. So sometimes I'd cheat. I'd get the heart attack sack in a bag. And that was bad for me. And then I met the good folks at Factor Meals. And what they do is they produce restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat. And by the way, it only takes 2 minutes normally to warm them up. 2 minutes. Now, I got 2 minutes to make a healthy meal. I don't got 22 minutes to do it. What's great about these meals, they're not only restaurant quality, they're dietitian approved. Expert dietitians picked the ingredients so that you have a nutritious and delicious meal that's actually going towards making you healthier, getting you the right allotment of vegetables and fruits and healthy protein and away from the fats and sugars that put us in a bad spot. And so I grab my Factor meals. I feel better. I eat better. I don't have the excuse. Oh, I don't have got 20 minutes. I'm going to cheat today. You don't have to fall off the diet wagon. And that's thanks to my good friends at Factor Meals. They have done something special for the Just the News, John Solomon Reports, Just the News, No Noise family. If you head over to factormeals.com/Solomon50, okay? Factormeals.com/Solomon50. Use the promo code Solomon50. You're going to get 50% off your order. 50% off these incredible meals. You can pick them. They got like 30 or 40 different dishes. They're all amazing. They're all taste great. And they're so healthy, but they're 2 minutes, which is about what I got when I'm running, when I'm doing a podcast and a TV show and an investigative report and a speech and running the company as CEO. I got 2 minutes to make a decision. Am I going to eat healthy or not? Factor Meals has made it easy for me. So go to factormeals.com/Solomon50. Get 50% off your order. You'll eat healthier. Your wallet will be a little bit heavier. You'll save some money. Your waistline will get a little thinner. Your wallet will get a little fatter because you're going to save money, 50% off. Go there today. Factor Meals, they support us. You should support them. Factormeals.com/Solomon50 and use the code Solomon50. You're going to get 50% off. All right. When we come back, Newt Gingrich, an extraordinary interview. Wait, just over the horizon right after these messages from our great partners. We'll be right back. Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit TNUSA.com/justnews. That's TNUSA.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. It's been a pretty remarkable 2 days, from the revelations of Barry Loudermilk yesterday to the testimony of Robert Hur, as we discussed in the opening block. I thought I'd bring in somebody who knows a thing or two about Congress, a thing or two about investigating, a thing or two about Americans processing truth. He is the former Speaker of the House and our good friend, Newt Gingrich. Mr. Speaker, good to have you on the show.
Well, it's great to be with you, as always.
I'd like to get your top line. I think a lot of Americans watch Robert Hur today, and I think Joe Biden comes out of this not looking so strong. Your top line thoughts on what Robert Hur revealed to all of us today?
Well, I think the transcript itself revealed a lot. It's very clear that for a very long period of time, Joe Biden was breaking the law, and that he was routinely taking secret documents. And I thought that Chairman Jim Jordan captured it perfectly at one point, when he noted that Biden had signed a contract for an $8 million book advance, and a great deal of this misuse of secret documents, working with his co-author, was designed to produce a book. And that, as Jordan said, Biden had 8 million reasons for doing this. But I think what comes across is the level of arrogance and contempt. I mean, imagine keeping secret documents in a cardboard box next to your Corvette in the garage. And it's pretty clear, if I understand the details, that they had stuff all over the place. They had it in offices, they had it in various homes, and that even when the attorneys tried to be helpful, they couldn't find everything. That in the end, the FBI had to go out and do a thorough search and found even more stuff. So my take was that one, Biden is guilty. Two, Biden does at times have a bad memory. And you saw this when he went to New Hampshire after he had been hopped up enough to give a pretty enthusiastic State of the Union address. He relapsed back to being who he normally is and couldn't remember what he was doing. And so I think that on two different fronts, that Hur really has an impact in our definition of who Joe Biden is.
Yeah, no, I think that that's exactly right. There's a moment where Hur reveals that there is an ongoing damage assessment, meaning that the documents that Joe Biden kept in such insecure locations were so damaging to the government that they had to assess that damage. Could foreign powers or someone have gotten a hold of it? I thought that was a pretty important moment to understand that this isn't just a paperwork error by Joe Biden.
Well, I mean, what the thing that you have to worry about is not only what are our secrets that might be revealed, but what is it about our opponents, who our agents are, for example, what our systems for watching them is? I mean, there are a lot of places where I know for a fact that when certain things are leaked, our most sophisticated opponents, and that includes North Korea, China, Iran, and Russia, change their behavior. You know, they read this stuff carefully, and they say, you know, this is how the Americans have been gathering intelligence. So I think that there are a lot of damage done in these things. And there's always a danger you're going to get some ally killed because suddenly something will be leaked that will allow the other team to figure out who it is, and they'll just go kill them. So this is not a game. The world is truly dangerous. And the key reason for security, I think we have to do way too much of it. But ultimately, the top secret stuff that really matters, matters because it's a function of trying to keep America safe. And in a world this dangerous, that's a very high priority.
Yes, it is. And with an open border, it becomes even higher priority that we have intelligence that is valid and that we can see, not frittered away by inappropriate storage of classified documents. I want to turn to something that I think is a theme when you go back to 2015. We were told there was Russia collusion. There was none. We were told that Joe and Hunter Biden's deeds in Ukraine were righteous. They weren't. We were told the laptop wasn't true. It was Russian disinformation. It was true. The FBI had already validated. We were told that January 6th that Donald Trump hijacked the car. He didn't. And the driver said so. All of these false narratives. And quite frankly, just a few days ago, Ian Sams, the White House spokesman on the taxpayers' dole, we pay him, went out and said, Robert Hur did not conclude that this was a willful retention. Robert Hur said to, yes, I did. It's in the report. There are these Democrat-driven taxpayer-funded falsehoods that have dominated the last 6 to 8 years of our country. How do we put a stop to it? How do we stop tax dollars from misleading us? How do we stop Democrats from repeatedly pulling off false stories that it takes us 3 years to unravel?
Well, I think you have to win the next election. Look, the challenge in a free society is sometimes things aren't complicated. They're just hard. As long as you have a party in power which believes in things it can't be honest about, and which does things it can't be honest about, and which exists off of corruption to pay off its allies, you have to assume that they're going to lie, because if they tell the truth, they're going to be defeated, and they're not suicidal. And I think that's at the core of what's going on.
Yeah, that is a really great point. Will the Democrats pay a price? Well, Joe Biden, who looked in the camera, said, I didn't get money from China. I didn't meet with my son's business partners. I didn't take classified documents. I didn't share classified documents. Robert Hur called that a lie. He actually called it a lie in the testimony today. Is there a price for Joe Biden to pay that he's now been caught lying enough times? And he looked in the camera. He looked at all of us and said, it's just not true. Does that boomerang on him?
Well, I think it has boomeranged on him. I mean, if you look at his current disapproval rating, I thought it was stunning that the New York Times a week ago had a poll that was devastating. And in the analysis, their top analyst, Nate Cohen, said the reason Biden's numbers are so bad is people don't like him. Well, that's, if you think about it, that's a pretty definitive problem. I think in that sense that the hole gets deeper for Biden every week, and people watch him, and every time he makes a mistake, but also when he's not making mistakes. I mean, this whole thing that you and I were chatting about whether somebody's an illegal immigrant or is an undocumented immigrant, or the White House briefly tried out the term newcomers. But they got such ferocious feedback, they had to drop it.
When one of those newcomers kills a girl, it's a big problem, isn't it?
Yeah. And then you get the whole challenge that in the real world, I just was talking with somebody yesterday about going to the grocery store. What the damage has already been done in that the price of everything has already gone up. And so even if you have a slowing of the inflation rate, it's going to stay on this plateau, which is recent enough that in the memory of most people, it's shocking. We had a poster today of the various candies and how much they have shrunk. And of course, shrinkflation is Bidenomics. The reason they're shrinking is they can't sell them at the traditional rate without raising prices so much that people will quit buying them. So they try to keep the price stable while reducing the amount you get, which is still a price increase, and people know it.
You're paying more for less. It's just remarkable. And for 6 months or a year, the president kept looking in the eye and said, it's not there. Bidenomics is working. The American people simply don't believe him.
That's right.
I want to flip to another subject that I think is dominating. You mentioned it. We have this linguistics battle going on. Is it an illegal alien? Of course it's an illegal alien. They've called them everything, right? They've called them undocumented workers, dreamers, anything but illegal. But I think most Americans now feel the horror of what has come across our border. It's in their cities. It's in our safety social net. The FBI director says, hey, ISIS might be running a smuggling operation. How big does the border become in the final decision before people pull a lever or fill out a ballot in November?
Well, I think at the rate it's going, if it continues, as people learn more about the number of young males coming across, the number of Chinese coming across, the number of criminals coming across, and as you see it in crime in local towns. I just, you know, somebody wrote a piece this week and said, you know, the border is now your neighborhood. It's not like we're talking about Texas anymore. And somebody was telling me about a small town in Maine where the buses drop off, you know, once a month they come by and drop off 60 or 80 or 100 people in a town of 2,000. And he said, and you immediately see a spike in crime. And so I think that this issue is going to continue to ferment, and I think it's going to continue to get worse. And I think that when you realize that we go through all the trouble at TSA to check your identity, to make sure you have an airline ticket, et cetera. And then you have, you know, a million people walk across the border. You have an administration so pro-illegal immigration that they've flown in 320,000 people. And you know that you're getting Venezuelan organized crime. You're getting El Salvadorian organized crime. You're getting Mexican organized crime. And behind all of that, you're getting penetration by both terrorist groups in the Middle East and from the Chinese.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it's all sitting right in front of us. Our intelligence agencies are warning us. It is remarkable to see a president continue and his Homeland Security Secretary continue to lie about what's going on. You always have a great sense of how coalitions are put together. You put one of the greatest coalitions in history together in 1994 to put Republicans back in control of Congress. I've been watching you and Ambassador Calista Gingrich, your beautiful wife. There is an enormous effort to demonize and anger and make fun of Catholics on the Democratic side from Joe Biden all the way down. Obviously, the Mother Cabrini movie's out and Catholics are celebrating that. Catholics feel like this, they feel to me looking at that this could be a significant shift in constituencies in the fall. Are Catholics maybe at the end of the road with their Democratic alliances?
Well, I think there's an enormous shift underway. And I think if you look, part of it is the overt, just both anti-Catholicism, but frankly, equally powerfully anti-fundamentalist Protestant. I mean, if you look at the left hates the idea of God, and the left hates the idea of an organized religion, because by definition, Christianity is incompatible, for example, with transgenderism, which the Pope has said is the greatest single threat today, because it basically teaches you that you are in control of defining yourself, God isn't. And so the very things that the left cherishes the most, organized Christianity and Orthodox Judaism, oppose. And as a result, there's a desperate, deep desire by the left to go after the Catholic Church, which is the largest single religious organization in the world, about 1.3 billion people. And I think that is a real fight. I think the film with Mother Cabrini is a very big deal. Calista and I just started watching The Chosen, which has done amazingly well.
Isn't that a beautiful series?
It's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary film and brings the Bible alive in ways I've never seen before. And so, you know, you do see this, and Angel Studio is a big part of this. You see a revitalization of classic America and a revitalization of Christianity and Judaism in a way that I think will ultimately be the demise of the left as a political organization.
Yeah, that's such an important point. I want to turn to one last thing. Obviously, we're 7 months from election. Hard to believe it's only 7 months away. Donald Trump seems to be in a strong polling position. Joe Biden seems to be in a declining position. And there is a real clear message in the two stump speeches. One is a vision how to fix America. Donald Trump has been very substantive as a vision setting. This is how I'm going to fix this, 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 and this. And all Joe Biden ever does is he seems to sow a vision of division, which is you have to hate the other guys. They're extremists. They're white Christian nationalists. They got so many names. I can't keep track of them. Is the key for Donald Trump to stay in that pocket of staying on vision and let Joe Biden be the negative, pessimistic, downtrodden guy?
Well, I think to the degree that Trump can actually go out to all the groups that are now available. I mean, you're seeing movement among Latinos, among African-Americans, among Asian-Americans. You're seeing younger people who 2 years ago were much further to the left, but now they're looking economically. They can't buy a car. They can't buy a house. They see a world in which their future is limited. And all of a sudden, Bidenism doesn't look very good. And he has really suffered. Biden has suffered greater loss in the last 3 months among people under 30 than any other group, because it's suddenly beginning to crystallize that this doesn't work.
Sounded good. Didn't work. Yeah.
My hope, frankly, is that Trump will be in every major city offering speeches about how to save the cities and how to change policies. And if he does that, he could win the biggest election since Roosevelt in 1932.
It seems like that is an enormous opportunity. These cities are bursting for someone who has an idea because the cycle's 60 years old and hasn't worked for 60 years under Democrats. It really is remarkable. On election day, what's your prediction right now? Do we have a Senate, a House, White House? How does it fall in your mind?
You know, again, everything can change, and I was frankly wrong in 2022. But my guess is that on election day, you win by a margin too large to steal for president. You pick up enough seats in the Senate that you may well be able to keep it for more than a decade. And you probably increase your House by 30 to 40 seats.
Yeah, that is such an important dynamic. And I think most people, with all three houses, you can really start to get things done. It isn't a theory. Things start to move and policies start to change very, very quickly. Newt, it is always an honor to have you on. Folks, if you haven't gotten a copy of this book, this is an inspirational book because it shows you how you build and you win majorities. Newt Gingrich did it bigger and better than anyone. March to the Majority. It's been out for a while. It's one of the best reads I have for politics. If you haven't gotten it, go get it today. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the good places. Mr. Speaker, it is always an honor. We always learn so much. Thanks for your time today.
Well, great talking to you, John. Take care.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, folks, welcome back. I want to wrap up with, rather than do a second interview today, I wanted to spend some time on what's been on my mind, looking at a dynamic. I think I hinted at it at the beginning of the show, and now I want to kind of go through it in a little bit of detail. I've really been thinking about this, and this week, particularly with what Barry Loudermilk revealed, what Jim Jordan extracted from her today, what Jordan and the others and Grassley Johnson and others extracted on Russia collusion, what Comer and Jordan and Smith have extracted on the Biden family grift. I think we're at a moment to pause and just appreciate or understand or come to grips with just how serious an issue we have in this country when it comes to truth. And again, I'm not a partisan. I haven't voted in an election in 20, 30 years. I chose to give up my voting rights so I wouldn't express opinion. How could I express opinion, vote for someone in an election, then come back and say I'm neutral? So I stopped doing it. Maybe one day when I retire from this gig, journalism, I will go back and revote and exercise my vote, right to vote. But right now I try to do it because I want to avoid the ultimate expression of bias or lack of neutrality. But because I do that, I sometimes am able to feel more comfortable looking back and say, listen, I've looked at all the facts. Here's the top line for you to consider. This is what I think the facts show. And the truth of the matter is, let's take a few big moments to consider this. There are FBI agents who took allegations from Hillary Clinton's campaign, Christopher Steele, and the law firm and the research firm that was doing that. And in the midst of the 2016 election, they took this knowing it was Democrat biased information. And they misled the greatest or the most sensitive national security court in the country, the FISA court. And they did that misleading by omitting key information like exculpatory information. In one case, they doctored evidence to make it look, say something it was not true. They didn't have an iota of evidence that Donald Trump was colluding with Russia, but they misled the court. Not too long after, 51 intelligence experts who derived their credentials from you and I. We gave them their credentials. They work for the U.S. government. They were paid by the taxpayer. They got their credibility from us. But then they turned around and worked with Joe Biden's campaign to use those credentials to falsely portray Hunter Biden's laptop as Russian disinformation when the FBI, months before, had already corroborated it as authentic. Misled again, right? Or misled on Russia collusion. Misled on that. There's an official congressional select committee. It was run by Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney. And it concluded that a White House aide, Cassidy Hutchinson's third-party hearsay account that Donald Trump tried to violently commandeer his presidential SUV on January 6th, tried to force it to go to the Capitol, was more credible than the Secret Service driver's firsthand account, which, by the way, they suppressed. They didn't give it to us. He said the event never happened. He knows he was there. Cassidy Hutchinson wasn't in the car. Lots of people testified to things on January 6th, and it was kept from us. One of those testimonies was that Donald Trump did, in fact, authorize National Guardsmen to go 3 days before January 6th that the number 10,000 was discussed. You heard what the president said on the podcast yesterday. That was kept from us as well. A congressional committee funded by your tax dollars, driven by a Democratic narrative, misled you again. Then, as I mentioned a little while ago, not just the 51 experts who are working with Joe Biden's campaign, not the Hillary Clinton campaign's Russia collusion delusion, not the January 6th one, a White House official named Ian Sands. He got up on the podium, he wrote a letter, and he insisted that it was a significant error for journalists to report that Joe Biden willfully kept and disseminated classified information, even though that's what Robert Hur reported. He used the power of the presidential podium, the seal of the presidency, the stationery of the White House, his salary, to try to badger, cajole, threaten, intimidate reporters to not report something that was written in stone. It was the actual official conclusion of a Biden Justice Department special counsel named Robert Hur. I think when we step back from this and we look at this era, I think all of us are coming to grips with this. I know we talk about the dual system of justice. That's true. I know we talk about Joe Biden lying his way into office. That's true. But Americans are being confronted by another painful battle, and that is that there is a Democrat-fed, taxpayer-financed machinery. And it has created several false realities, untrue narratives, outright lies. And they're putting this country on a whipsaw roller coaster. We start in one area. Oh, my God, Donald Trump did this. Joe Biden didn't do that. We were lied to Russia to submit. Then, whoop, it flips around. And you get the facts 3 years later. It's like, wait a second. The truth is, we were lied to. And it's taxpayer money and Democrats that are the common narrative. And whether you look at the evidence that Congressman Barry Loudermilk, who I hope to bring on the show soon, released yesterday, all the stuff we were withheld so that the Democrat narrative would look unchallenged when it was challenged, whether it's Ian Sam's performance at the podium, denying the truth about what Robert Hurt concluded, whether it's what Glenn Simpson and Christopher Steele and Hillary Clinton and the law firm that was Hillary Clinton's law firm and Glenn Simpson and his Fusion GPS, the creation of a false illusion of Russia collusion. It didn't exist. It never existed, according to John Durham. There wasn't an iota of evidence. It was all fictitious. Whether it's Adam Schiff saying, trust me, if you're willing to see it, there's Russia collusion. There was nothing to see. I think Robert Mueller bought that line of blarney. The 51 intelligence agents who said it's Russian disinformation. The FBI had already concluded their laptop wasn't. But there's a commonality. Almost all of these false narratives started in Democratic politics. Almost all of them involve people who lived on or worked on or were part of the government machinery, meaning you and I financed them at some point, if not at the moment they were carrying out these false stories. And none of them to date has really paid a significant price. The people who tried to tell the truth, people like me, got called conspiracy theorists. Devin Nunes, Ron Johnson, Chuck Grassley, James Comer, Jim Jordan. They've all been called names. They've all had their Wikipedia pages hijacked to make them look like they're bad people, when in fact they were arbiters of the truth, but there's no consequence yet. I think that's a big question to ask. And I think Newt Gingrich said it. The only consequence we're going to get in the next 12 months is somebody wins the election that actually believes in telling the truth and fixing these things. And the border's not open until it's not open, right? Meaning if it's open, you say so. If it's closed, you say so. You go and close it. You do the job. You bring down inflation. You don't pretend that inflation isn't there and say, oh, you don't, what you're seeing at the grocery store, you're misreading it. It's not inflated prices. Yes, it is. It is. But I do think that the moment we're in this Democrat-fueled, taxpayer-financed deception machine, it has to be stopped. or we will soon not be distinguishable from the banana republics, from the Vladimir Putins and the Pravdas and the Venezuelan mistruths, the banana republics that we see all across this world, the Chinese censors. We're really moving in that direction in a big way, and there has to be a consequence. And I think Newt Gingrich got it right. We're not going to get many consequences in the courts otherwise. Right now, the election, you, the American people, are the jury. And if you sustain the verdict, then there'll be some change. If you don't, you're going to live in a world where this becomes the reality and the norm, not just the beginning and occasional rare, frustrating dual system of justice. These are big issues, and I don't want people to not think that they aren't big issues. Now, one other thing I want to say, there are some big issues before the United States Supreme Court. I've been talking about this day in and day out. I really feel strongly about this. I really want you to see if you can do something to help my friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. Our God-given liberties, our constitutionally guaranteed liberties, are under assault. And truth itself is under assault, as we just talked about for most of this show with Newt Gingrich, myself, you. And winning is only occurring in a few places. It's not occurring in the executive branch right now. It's not occurring too often in the congressional branch. But I must say that Jim Jordan and James Comer and Jason Smith and Ron Johnson, Chuck Grassley, they've won. They've gotten the truth out around the media, around the liars in the political establishment and in the government. But one of the places that is winning is Alliance Defending Freedom. And they have been defending our rights for 30 years. They win. They go to court. They got two big cases in the United States Supreme Court before the nine justices right now. One is involving the FDA. The other is involving the Idaho abortion ban. There's a battle royale going on about what sort of nation of laws and rule and order we're going to be. And Alliance Defending Freedom is fighting that at the highest court there is, the United States Supreme Court. And if you want to make sure this country doesn't drift further into lawlessness, if you want to make sure that our freedoms don't get run over, that censors aren't the norms, that the government can't tell you what to say or what to believe or what shot to take, then go join ADF.org at this address, ADF.org/John. ADF stands for Alliance Defending Freedom. ADF.org/John. Join me today. Give any amount, any little bit of amount. Well, we're going to try to raise $5,000 by March 31st. I hope you'll help me do it. If you just go to ADF.org/John, you'll be making a contribution. Any $5, $10, $25, $1,000, $500, whatever it is. Give that money. Make a difference. Help fuel these lawsuits where we're the United States, those champions of freedom have been winning in the courts pretty regularly. Student loan decision, vaccine mandate decision, West Virginia versus EPA, which we talk about with Patrick Morrissey, the great attorney general of West Virginia, won those cases. Alliance Defending Freedom is fighting these big ones now. The sustenance of our free rights, our freedom to speak, to practice our faith in any way we choose, to challenge our government, to question our government. They're on the line, and Alliance Defending Freedom is fighting that on that line right now. Two big Supreme Court cases. One more time. Go to ADF.org/John. That's my first name, J-O-H-N. ADF.org/J-O-H-N. John. Go make a contribution today. We're trying to help them raise $5,000 by March 31st. Let me know if we can help. All right. That wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to Newt Gingrich. Sorry I spoke too much today, but I really want to bring through what were the highlights of her testimony, just in case the news organization you covered didn't cover it aggressively or honestly today. And then I want to talk about this big issue, the Democrat-fueled, taxpayer-financed deception machine. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on this January 6th report, and we got some new Hunter Biden stories coming around the corner. Until then, God bless you and have a great night. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.